You're listening to Market the Brew, a leading resource for promoting and marketing craft beer. Join in as we share with you, straight from the source, tools and strategies craft brewers from around the country are using right now to achieve significant success.
Welcome to West Allis. Perspective Brewing is a new brewery that two brothers have always dreamed of becoming a reality. They went from being high school teachers to opening their own brewery in a suburb of Milwaukee. Perspective Brewing has become the place to be on Saturday mornings for soccer fans in the Milwaukee area. And with a strong lineup of cocktail-inspired seltzers, this brewery is a place for everyone. Listen in as we talk to Dan, co-owner of Perspective Brewing, about their perspective on beer.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How you doing?
So I'm going to start by asking you to introduce yourself and your brewery.
All right, easy enough. So my name is Dan. I know you guys well from coming into the brewery, but I'm from Perspective Brewing Company. And so it's me and my brother Spot, and we're 8.5 months in, and excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So are we your first podcast?
You are my first podcast ever. I've been on TV with, I think Fox 6 came and interviewed me for A La Carte, but this is my first podcast ever. So
awesome.
What an honor for you guys.
Literally.
Yeah.
I think we'll have fun.
Yeah.
So why did you guys decide to open your own brewery, and how did that become a thing with you and your brother?
Oh, man. So me and my brother were high school science teachers for, I was a teacher for 12 years. He was at least 13, maybe 14. But that's kind of how we bonded, was over beer, and maybe got through some of those early teaching years. So basically we were looking for something to do in the summers, and, you know, all of our other friends that didn't have teaching jobs were busy during the middle of the week. So, you know, to fill the void, you know, we needed to do something, and we liked beer. So we started brewing beer, right? Just home brewing. And we did that for about 6 years before we actually got serious. But the moment that we decided to actually get into the brewery world and make this thing legit, we were both teaching at the same school, New Berlin West. And we had a moment. We had one of those aha moments in life. It was a beginning of the school year. They were pumping all the teachers up. They were, you know, had all the teachers in the auditorium. And it was one of those like, hey, you know, you guys gonna have a great school year. You're going to inspire kids to follow their dreams. So they showed us this YouTube video, which I'll never forget. It was Kid President. And Kid President said to all the teachers, yeah, you can do anything you want, follow your dreams, you know, and we took that as we can do whatever we want. We know, yes, let's inspire the kids, but let's do it. Let's do this thing. So yeah, over that lunch break, we talked, because we went to lunch together that day. We're like, hey, let's do this thing, and let's actually do it right. So that was about 6 years or 7 years ago now that happened. And immediately following that, the following summer, we did an internship in Colorado at Colorado Boy, which was in Ridgeway and Montrose, so kind of out in the boondocks by Ouray. But we did an internship together there. Ben focused on the brewing side. I focused on the business side. And that was one summer together. And then the following summer, I actually moved out to Colorado, went to school at Regis University, got my craft brewing certification there. The plan was to come back right after that, but then I ended up meeting my wife. So it took me a few years to convince her to move back here and follow this crazy dream. But here we are. And we have, 8.5 months in now and still going strong.
Wow.
That is incredible. Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned the Kid President. Being a teacher, I show that video to my students and I've seen it in classrooms, and it's very motivating.
It's a powerful video. Yeah.
He's a motivating kid.
Yeah. He's probably like 40 years old right now. I don't even know like how long ago that was, but I owe him. I owe him.
Should write him a letter and just be like, hey man, you inspired me as a teacher to, follow my dream.
Stuff, this needs to be a beer name, right? We need to name something after Kid Fresno.
Hey, you can never go wrong with naming. Like, it's always hard to name beer, like beer names and everything. So, hey.
Exactly.
So what made you guys choose West Dallas as your location for your brewery?
When I was in school, and I guess the years that followed, I had kind of crafted a business plan of what we wanted our brewery to be. And we knew going into it, so even before I had moved back to Wisconsin, we knew that we wanted to be not in the heart of Milwaukee, but instead we wanted to be a neighborhood brewery in a surrounding, greater Milwaukee area, suburb around Milwaukee. So that kind of narrowed down like our map to look. And so when I had moved back, we started looking at spaces, and we had looked at places like South Milwaukee, Oak Creek, Franklin, New Berlin, and kind of just tested the waters there. We weren't in a super big rush. This was during COVID. So this was like 2020, and like, ooh, thank God we didn't open sooner. So we were very patient. We were waiting for that right spot. And we did find a couple spots in some of the other surrounding areas. But whenever we found a spot that we thought could work for our model, we always reach out to the city first and kind of say, hey, are you guys interested in having us? And some were more, I guess, excited than others, but when we had found this place in West Dallas, it was like night and day. Reached out to the city, and they're literally across the street from us right now. They said, we'll do anything to get you here. And that was kind of like, oh, all right. Well, they sound like they're going to be easy to work with. So we end up, landing on West Dallas. We loved the location of our space, which is right on Greenfield Avenue. And we knew that there's parades. We knew that, we're a block away from State Fair. There's plenty going on. The downtown, I guess, commercial district is, right outside our door. We get a lot of foot traffic. And we also loved the actual building itself. When we had got it, it was a vacant building, had been vacant for a little bit, but it does have some history to it. And we have, it was a two-unit building. We tore down the wall, cut a big hole in the taproom floor because we have a little sunken brew house that we look into. But by the time we had, we had plenty of time to actually do some renovations. By the time we had it done, it was the cozy neighborhood brewery that we had always imagined. So that's, we had the vision before we did it, but that's how we landed where we are.
Wow. And I like the feel of like your brewery too. Like you said, like you have the sunken like brew house and everything, which is cool. Yeah. Just to like be able to sit on the edge and like look over everything. And then like the Cream City kind of brick vibe that's in there too. I mean, it's like kind of like Milwaukee, like Cream City, like.
Exactly. And we knew it was there. So when we got the building, it was plastered over. And that was something going in every day after school and trying to chisel that plaster off that brick because it was hidden. There was no brick that was exposed. So, but we knew it was there. So that was another selling point. Like, I know what that wall could be. It's not right now, but it could be.
And what is the size of your brewery? And how many barrels do you produce around so far? Yeah. What are your goals for that?
Yeah. So the physical space, if we're talking square footage in the tap room, like we have seating for roughly 900 square feet. But we also have a roughly 1,500 square foot patio, which we're really hoping to amp up this summer. As far as barrels go, we've now 8.5 months in, we are still trying to keep up in production, but we are amping that up as of last week. So we have a split 7-barrel system. So we have a cycle brew system, which is 2 3.5-barrel mash tuns, 2 3.5-barrel oil kettles. So what we've been doing as of now is basically 3.5-barrel batches. Our fermenters are 7 barrels though. So last week we put in a big order for twice as many hoses and pumps so we could simultaneously brew and fill the fermenters for 7 barrels. So like we've been working at a capacity since June for about 150 barrels per year. And this year, our goal is 300.
Nice.
Which is ahead of where I had projected our, you know, we're ahead of schedule on my 5-year plan, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys have started doing canning now and the to-go beers. How has that been going?
Crazy good, but when we can, right, we're not like, don't have this huge canning line. It's right. It's me and Ben and on a Wednesday morning using an October can steamer, you know, one of those crawler machines, and we're hand labeling, sanitizing, hand filling, purging with CO2 fill. So it is a full morning to try to fill our to-go fridge, and it's a good problem to have, but then we look at the fridge on Saturday and Sunday. We're like, oh man, we got to fill it again. So now it's like a weekly thing where we have to just at least throw a few 4-packs in there. But hopefully we'll be getting more efficient or find a more efficient way to keep up with our to-go sales as well.
And a lot of the breweries we talk to, they start by hand canning. And we've even been in breweries while they're hand labeling.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see as the years go that production and how big your breweries have grown. And it's really fun. Yeah. It's fun in those moments to look back at where you began. And I really appreciate that time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So are you distributing yet, or is that a goal for yours, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that we do want to distribute a little bit, at least that's in the near future. Our goal actually in 2023 was going to be starting January, was going to be getting into at least 5 tap rooms / bars and other surrounding suburb areas, like the other places we had looked. The past few months have been crazy. So I thought we had peaked at taproom sales. Again, like this is all unknown to me. I don't have, you know, I can go off of what other breweries that in my, you know, studies have done, but it's my first time going through it. I thought maybe we had met like the max of taproom sales, but then we heard that the winter is going to be the slow part for the brewer, slow time for the brewery. And for us, because we're still growing, it actually has been busier than even last summer. So we're still not at the point where we can make enough kegs to send out. It is a goal. Right now we are in one location in Hartford at Brewed Omen. But it would be nice. And as soon as hopefully this will help, if we're, you know, brewing more beer, to actually get to that goal of getting to at least 5 places a month. But that's where we want to be in the very near future.
That's a good goal to have.
Yeah, it sounds like a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. Yeah. Like, yeah, you want to do this, right? But like, you're so busy that you can't.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's never enough beer in Wisconsin. We drink too much in the winter.
Literally.
No, the people of West Dallas drink a lot.
I mean, you have a bar in every freaking corner in West Dallas. So,
So when you started beginning to open your brewery, I'm sure you kind of had a date set for that opening. Were you able to open on time, or did you run into some obstacles?
I learned very early on not to be naive and listen to contractors' timelines. Because we were told in the very beginning, so we had bought the space in October of 2020, and we were told that that's about a 3 to 6 month project to get this place going. And June of, 2022 is when we opened. So it was, it did not go as scheduled. It felt really bad. Like we were running a little bit of social media at the time. But like people would always ask, like, when are you going to open? When are you going to open? And we'd say, it's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. And then, you know, months go by, and we had, you know, during COVID, you have delays with getting steel. We had to get 6 huge steel beams put in because our structural engineer said that we needed them. We waited 6 months for that. We had a hood installed that was 6 inches too small. So then we had to reorder the hood, and that took 3 months. So it was, it tested our patience. I think the good thing about it is that it did give us more time to, I guess, prepare and allowed us to do a little bit more construction on the tap room ourselves. So there's good and bad things about it, but definitely we were about a year behind where, when I thought we were going to open at the very beginning to when we actually did open.
And we've talked to a lot of breweries that have opened recently or within the few years. And we always ask about that opening date and just what kind of obstacles they experience, because there's listeners who are planning to open a brewery or other breweries that want a second location. And there's always something unforeseen and something unexpected. And to share those stories, it kind of helps others in their experience as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I've learned a lot from even just a short time, you know, owning the brewery. I learned so much more about non-brewing stuff than I thought I would too. Like, Ben has been amazing at that. He like went from teacher to YouTubing how to build a cold storage. You know, let's YouTube how to drywall, you know, figuring out how to drywall. I was putting plastic FRP siding on things that like gave us time to watch some YouTube. So that was good. Yeah, made us better, well-rounded people.
And you talked about how people were messaging you, trying to find out when you were opening. How has the community responded so far to Perspective Brewing?
Amazing. I'm so glad we ended up where we are because it was, I guess moving into West Dallas, when I had moved away to Colorado, that was 5.5 years ago now, I never thought I would end up in West Dallas. Cause I had this, what I think there's still people that think, you know, West Dallas is very much a corner bar culture and, you know, a brewery would never work. In fact, I think that one day in our opening, I remember this, I heard somebody say, like, it was during a la carte. So this was insane. It was day two, just nonstop beers. I heard somebody say, like, this place is too fancy. It's never going to make it. And here we are 8.5 months later, and we are getting tons of support. Like, even last Thursday, or was it last Thursday, or a couple Thursdays ago, when there was this crazy snowstorm and places were closing down, I had all the neighborhood people there. They were, you know, everybody walked to the brewery, so they didn't have to drive. So that was like one of the moments I was like, yes, this is exactly what we kind of had envisioned, being the neighborhood spot. So I think even not only, you know, in the direct neighborhood, but the people of West Dallas, and even, you know, people are coming from a little bit further that made our brewery their spot. It's been awesome.
And we've been there quite a few times.
Yeah.
Living so close.
I mean, literally, it's like a 5-minute drive for us. So it's like our nearest brewery to us, which has been great.
And the community that comes to your brewery is so kind, and it feels like a family, and everyone kind of gets to know everyone. Like, you sit down at the bar and you start talking to the person next to you, and it just feels homey.
Yeah, that I've noticed that too, and I'm so glad that people feel comfortable enough to do that. But I never expected, I guess it's exceeded my expectations of how we've made this atmosphere where people like you're saying feel comfortable coming on their own and talking. And so when people come to our little bar that we have at Perspective, you know, it's, they come like it's an extension of their home. You know, I've gotten to know so many awesome people in the community just because they come in regularly, and I get to, because I'm their bartending, get to talk to them, and I've become friends with them. And it's awesome. That's something that I didn't even consider when I was opening the brewery, that I get to have, you know, I'd meet people that would want to be there more than once, you know, every couple months. It's people that are coming every week to talk and hang out. So that's been awesome.
And when people are listening and they want to come to Perspective, what can they expect? Can they expect dog friendly, family friendly, food? What could they expect when they visit?
All of the above. We are dog friendly. I feel like that's something you have to be as a brewery. We have, right, you know, so many of our friends. I'm the only one of my brothers who doesn't have a dog. But you know, bring the pups and everything, and we are definitely family friendly. And I think this is something that's very important to us, especially being, I have my daughter, my 2-year-old daughter, I have a baby on the way. I have my brother and his 3 little girls, you know, that are being raised basically at this brewery. So like this morning I was there with my daughter and she was helping me clean. but we want people to feel comfortable bringing their family. And when the weather's nicer out, one of the things that we have in our patio, we have a little kids playhouse that was, I mean, mostly put there for our kids, just, you know, they're there all the time. Let's give them some toys. But it's definitely, even last summer when we had just opened the patio, I remember being out there one Saturday and there was like, you know, 10 kids playing together in our little kids area. Like, yes, this is perfect. This is what I wanted. So
we
definitely
saw dad in that playhouse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. but yeah, family friendly. We do serve one topping pizzas, which has been super successful. And, you know, people can also bring in their own food. We only have 2 little small pizza ovens. So, you know, sometimes it gets busy and I'm, you know, dishing out pizzas. It gets, you know, delayed on the pizza orders, but people have been loving the pizzas. We get them from my friend's pizza place in Racine, half baked. So they're like way better than just your Jack's frozen pizzas, so they're legit.
Can contest to that. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Had a couple pieces and your giant pretzels. Those are,
yeah,
awesome.
Oh yeah,
well.
Milwaukee Pretzel and, Company.
Oh my god,
we can't keep those stocked either. They're amazing,
right?
They are.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
god.
we give the necessities, right? Pizza, pretzels, and we got slide chips. We sell slide chips, gourmet potato chips from Madison, 9 different flavors. They're all great. But yeah, so we give the necessities, and then hey, if you want something else, bring it in. You know, we got amazing restaurants in the like surrounding area that you can grab some food from. We have people that have come into our place because we have Double B's, a barbecue spot,
right,
a block,
yeah,
away. And hey, we're waiting for our table. Come in for a beer here, and then your table's ready. You know,
absolutely.
Head back over there. Yeah,
that's great. So from learning about you and like your wife, like talking to you guys at the brewery, we learned that you guys love to travel. So has traveling inspired you guys on like the different types of beers to bring back and everything, or what?
I guess I would say travel just inspires me in general. I think for especially me, well, I guess the whole team, the beer is super important. And equally as important is, I think, the vibes and the experience in the brewery. And so we try to encompass all of that as best we can, you know, try to, you know, a little bit of me, a little bit of Ben, a little bit of my wife, Taryn, my sister-in-law, Ashley, through our tap room. But for me, at least, I guess what I take from travel is, I guess you can tell the beers I name because they're all travel related or very European based ones, like with soccer, right? but my favorite styles from just traveling, like I like all different styles of beer, but just something about drinking a, like for instance, right now, the beer I'm drinking is like the King's Road Pub Ale. I want to, when I'm drinking that pub ale, I want to feel like I'm in London or in surrounding London neighborhood at a pub drinking that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm drinking our Hefeweizen, I want to be transported back at the Augustiner Beer Garden in Munich. Or, you know, I want to be transported by the beers. That's kind of where I get inspired. And like with travel, another thing that's I'm excited about for the future is whenever I go to a different country, I've been trying to meet with breweries in that country.
Okay.
And kind of set up this, just this little sister network of breweries, you know, that I kind of can maintain a relationship with. And I have reached out, and I'm hoping to get this done this year. The last vacation me and my wife and my family took was to Switzerland. And I still maintain contact with, it's called the Hairy Cow, but it's in German. So I don't even want to try pronouncing it, but it's two Scottish guys. And I reached out to them actually a couple weeks ago to see, now that we're kind of in the swing of things, hey guys, do you want to do a collaboration? And they're on board for that. So I'm excited to get that on the calendar. Also I have a brewery in Costa Rica that I had reached out to a while back, and they were trying to actually figure out a way to come to our brewery and brew, but we'll have to figure out logistics for that. So that's one of my goals, is to get that kind of international collaboration program going in the next year or so, because that's something that, you know, hey, the brewery is supposed to be our perspective on life. It's our it's an extension of ourselves. So if travel inspires me, it's got to inspire other people too. I want that to be part of the brewery, whether that's through transporting through beer or eventually, hey, let's plan a trip from the brewery to go see a Premier League game in, you know, in London and drink some beers and go to some cool craft breweries over there too. So that's my ultimate dream, is to somehow build and travel with the brewery.
Wow, that's super cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
You don't hear that often, how people are flying to different countries to collaborate on beers. So and it gives people a chance to try those beers, even if they are made in different places, but to kind of see what their beers are tasting like compared to yours and kind of build that network.
Oh yeah.
That's incredible. Sure. I'm excited now.
Right.
I'm pumped just talking about it. I need to book a trip.
Yeah, I'll come with you.
Yeah.
So another super cool thing that Perspective does is you have a line of cocktail-inspired seltzers. And I'm a big seltzer drinker, and I was super impressed with these. I mean, they are spot on. I remember the first time I tried them was at your opening, and you guys were running out. Like, they were selling out so fast. Like, it was in the fall, and you had apple pie. Oh my goodness. Like, I think I drank like four of them. They were so good.
Yeah. So if you look back, I just ran this report actually. I was working on it last week. I was looking at data from October through January, because now that we have a little bit of time, you know, with taps, I could kind of start making some educated decisions on what, you know, production schedule should be like, how much of everything we should have. And our three top selling drinks overall in that short period of time, our Old Fashioned Seltzer, which is number one, our Hefeweizen, so our, you know, the first beer is number two, and then the margarita is our third. So two of the top three sellers for us are these cocktail seltzers. But I think all the credit for that, like we had ideas, but that's like my brother Ben and his wife Ashley, they're like, that's their babies. And I'm along for the ride, and I get to taste test them, right, and give feedback. But I know that they like, for instance, the Old Fashioned, they had spent about a month trying different things, trying to get an actual Old Fashioned taste that wasn't just like cherry juice. So what they ended up doing is, you know, we have a hard seltzer base, and we use that basically as a replacement for the spirit. So in an Old Fashioned, we drink, I prefer bourbon, like we all prefer bourbon Old Fashions over brandy. I know it's weird, but
I do too.
Yeah. So they put oak spirals in there. So basically bourbon barrel aged our hard seltzer base to give it some sort of smokiness and some bourbony characteristics. And then we just use that and we mix up an old fashioned cocktail. And same with the margarita. Instead of tequila, you have a seltzer base. So we try to make it, yeah, as, like you're saying, as close to the actual cocktails as we can.
Yeah, and the thing that I like is when you pour it, you don't just pour it into a glass. Like, you guys actually make it look like a cocktail. Like, you put, like, the ice cubes, you have the orange peel for the old-fashioned. Like, you guys actually make it look like a cocktail, but it's not. So, like, I think that's really cool, like, what you guys do.
It's more than just cracking a can.
Yeah, we try to get fancy with it, as fancy as we can. It's same thing annoying with glassware.
Yeah, it's probably annoying for you guys to, like, always have to, like, make it, like, get the orange peel and everything, but.
Yeah, at first it was like, should we really be doing this? But. It does add, like, I admit, I had, like, I was skeptical at first, like, Ben, do we really need to zest it? And, like, yeah, it does add a lot to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because they are cocktail inspired, it doesn't make it more challenging to try to, like, perfect that flavor, just because everyone kind of knows what an old fashioned should taste like. Is it more challenging than trying to create, like, a Hefeweizen or like a beer where it's kind of more up to the brewery's flavor? Like, it can be differentiated, whereas something like cocktail is so singular.
I would think so, because like you're saying, people have an expectation in their mind. If they order something old fashioned, or if they order something that's margarita, they have something in their mind that it should taste like that. If it's not tasting like that, they're going to think, even if it's delicious, they might say, this is messed up. I don't know what I'm drinking. As opposed to the beer, where there's been so many different versions. Like, we have, I don't know how, two versions of our Hefeweizen. There's, you know, 100 other different versions of Hefs and things like that, and wheat beers and IPAs, so that people, I guess, don't fully have, you know, their minds are more open, I would say, for the beers, because they expect it to be different than a different brewery's IPA, right? So that's why I think it took, or it takes so long to kind of tinker with, you know, adding this much of a tart cherry juice or this much fresh lime, because we want it to be something that is as close as we can make it, because we can't sell spirits. You know, we can't serve wine, so we have to have something for people that don't drink beer that still want to have some sort of alcohol. And, you know, a cocktail, you know, everybody drinks a good cocktail, right?
Right.
And I mean, you guys really have perfected the flavors. Like, every time we go, even people who say, like, I'm not a beer drinker, what could I have? It's nice having those options.
Yeah.
And they're impressed. Like, they can't believe it's a seltzer.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, like even our last one, we had the Blood Orange Mimosa, even to the point of we use, you know, the seltzer base itself, it lends itself to mimosa because it has almost this champagne-y taste from the yeast. So, you know, we didn't even, when we drink, go out for brunch and drink mimosas, it's a lot of champagne and a splash of orange juice, you know, as opposed to, like, more orange juice and a splash of champagne. So we try to mimic that, even like when we're, there's so much tasting that goes on. I know it sounds like it's, you know, an awesome thing, but, like, nah, that's too much orange juice, or, you know, it's not enough champagne-iness. So we do a lot before we actually put in the taps. Like, it has to pass our taste test first.
And do you guys have any seltzers that you're currently working on that aren't on tap yet? Or is that still a secret?
Honestly, right now, like, the seltzers, it's kind of, I guess, takes less prep work, supplies-wise. Because we brew the hard seltzer base. So we have, right now, we even have a fermenter that's filled with base, but you can't just keg it, because when we make the seltzers, you mix it right in it's like the keg is a big glass and you're pouring everything in there. So you can't just empty it out. So we do it, the seltzers, basically one half barrel at a time, and try to have a backup. So as of right now, we're only working on our two seltzers that we have, the old fashioned and now the margarita is back, because we, I mean, it's a two top sellers. Every time we take off one of them, like somebody comes and complains, like, "Hey, where's the margarita?" You know, like, "All right, we'll bring it back." But then,
God damn it,
you know, but like you're saying, there's got to be some time that we bring back the caramel apple one. That was,
that was a great fall drink.
That literally went, I think when you guys opened, that was like the first one just like to go right away. Yeah. I remember like your wife or Ben's wife was just like, if you want it now, come get it. Cause like, we're almost out.
People are trying to like get some to go and like fill growlers and do whatever they could to get their hands on it.
Yeah, we had only made a sixth of that one. So we had 5 gallons of that.
Jeez.
Wow.
Some of them are, I mean, some of them are expensive to make though, which is like, it's more of a special thing because the margins are a little smaller because we do, you know, for quality, high quality, you spend some more money on ingredients. So they aren't always the cheapest to make.
Well, I would really appreciate it if it came back the fall. Speaking on behalf of what
maybe I can get it.
Definitely a fall drink though, for sure.
So
something that we connected on, I would say, when we first met and get to talking, that we both coached the same team. Like, you used to coach at New Berlin West, and I took over literally probably like a year or two after you on coaching the same team and everything.
Yeah.
And so when we were talking, when you first opened about soccer, you wanted to start Soccer Saturdays. So you want to talk about a little bit about that? And like what that entails.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, going off the theme of, you know, our name perspective, again, we wanted the brewery to be an extension of ourselves. And I am a huge soccer fan, right? Chelsea in particular, which is another thing we bought it on draft.
Absolutely.
So I'm up in the morning anyways, watching these games. And I always loved going into, you know, the Red Lion or the Highbury to catch a game. But I live out in New Berlin, and there wasn't a whole lot, you know, on my side of town that I could go to and watch a game with, you know, some buddies. So I just thought, hey, I'm at the brewery all the time anyways. Why don't I just throw it on TV and make it a, like I said, you're drinking the beers, I want to be transported into, you know, the pub, you know,
right?
Same idea. I want to have, for a morning, I want to be transported into a soccer, you know, fan zone. So Soccer Saturdays is kind of my thing. And I've been super excited about it. I mean, it couldn't have started at a better time, like you said, with the World Cup being this past fall.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of people that, you know, had come into some games before. And then even with the World Cup, like, the American games were awesome. It was exceeded my expectations. I even opened on a, you know, like a Monday, which we're not even open, and had, you know, several people in there working on the computers and watching the game, which was awesome. But now, you know, I got at least a solid crew that comes in at 9 a.m. with me, and it's always a good time. It's just fun. You know, it's something I love to do anyways. And, you know, I know other people do as well. So why not? This is why we brew the 4% King's Road, you know, something to drink at 9 in the morning.
Right.
Yeah. So it's been awesome. It's been, it makes it fun to go into to work for me, which is something that I wanted to do.
And even though we're both Chelsea fans and they're not doing great, but I mean, you still open at 9 a.m. and to watch any game. Like, it doesn't matter what game's on. Like, you're still watching any game on the EPL and everything. So,
I mean, even before I was a Chelsea fan, I liked watching Premier League soccer. I decided to choose Chelsea because Christian Pulisic, you know, or the one American at the time in the Premier League. But I just love watching soccer. So if there's any, I've had people ask for Dortmund game, so we put on Bundesliga on one of the TVs.
That's too soon from last week, man. Come on.
this was before
I know.
But actually, one of my buddies or now that comes in all the time is a huge Brighton fan, and like you guys brought me a Chelsea scarf that we have hung up. But next to that Chelsea scarf
and the
flag, yes, which hangs over proudly over our oil kettles. He ordered a Brighton scarf. So we've become also an unofficial center of Brighton. But it's just fun. It's all soccer is welcome. All fans. We're not hooligans. So we can have, some banter, but we accept all Premier League fans or soccer fans in general.
Yeah. And if you go at 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings, Dan will feed you hot ham and rolls for free. For free.
That is right. Every day before I go into the brewery, I go into Greeby's and I wait in line. They're always packed in the morning somehow on Saturdays.
I mean,
like, why are people awake?
Greeby's. It's Greeby's. Their food is... it's just amazing.
Yeah. Like a donut. Yeah, their hot hammer rolls is amazing too, which you can find out if you come in at 9 a.m.
Absolutely.
But it's while supplies last, and it doesn't last past the 9 a.m. matches anymore. So get in there early.
And it's so nice. Like, soccer, I feel like, is kind of up and coming, at least in the Milwaukee area. It's becoming more popular and people are wanting to watch it. And here in Milwaukee, we have a few places that are downtown, but there aren't a lot of places that show games like on the west side or kind of in the more suburbs of Milwaukee. So it's nice that you have that and provide that for people. Because we're about 20 minutes away from downtown.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal, but I mean, if you have kids or a family or you have to let the dog out, it's so convenient to have your brewery as a place to show these games.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I started is because I didn't want to always drive, 20 minutes into downtown Milwaukee to catch a game. Like, hey, it's a 5-minute drive to the brewery. Let's do that. Cause I know there's other people out here and people have been coming and saying the same thing. Like, hey, thank you for opening something on this side of town, because we always had to drive into town and you're into Milwaukee and this is way more convenient. And so that's another reason why we did it. If we were downtown Milwaukee, same thing, would it have been worth it? Probably not, because there's other options, but I just wanted to bring that further out west.
I appreciate it.
He'll wake up at 7 a.m. Yeah. Be like, hey, do you want to go watch the game? Like, no, I don't want to drive downtown. He's like, no, we're going to Perception.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, one weekend so when we were kicking it off, it wasn't a consistent thing, at least in the very beginning. It was like, hey, I'm going to try a Premier League weekend. And I was there at 5:30 in the morning, like ready to go, like 6 a.m. goes.
6:30 game.
Yeah, I found out that the 6 a.m. games are a little too early, even for most people on our side of town. Those people are still driving in.
Yeah.
Going to the Highbury, but
that's true.
Yeah. So I found the sweet spot and approval from my wife to go in at 9.
Yep.
So you've had a lot of great things going on for Perspective. You've had a great 8 months. You're coming up on a year. Are there any things that you're really looking forward to or most excited about?
Oh yeah. There's always something to look forward to now. I guess one of the big things is collaborations. So now that we've kind of settled in a little bit, it's kind of cool enjoying some of the fun parts while we catch our breath a little bit as we continue to grow. But we get to do fun stuff. We have something lined up with Component. So we're doing that in April, and then also Youngblood. We're doing something with in April. We just talked to Ope that we're going to be doing a West Dallas beer together. Nice. Hopefully by the time for both our 1-year anniversaries, because we're a week apart. So we'll do West Dallas beer for that one. I know Ben had recently talked to Super Moon and might be doing something with them. So it's fun now kind of that we're a little bit more confident with our system and settled in a little bit, and had some time to figure things out, get to do some of those fun things. And like I said, for me, starting to look at the bigger things, doing the international collaborations and what can I do in the future for some beer trips, things like that. Also, this summer is going to be crazy. So last summer was all about let's get open and let's just open our doors and, you know, start this thing. But this summer already, we're booking out almost every weekend with some sort of event. We have, you know, food truck Fridays in West Dallas, farmers markets. We have some beer gardens that we're doing. We're doing something with the West Dallas Parks and Rec. We're doing a throwback playground night every month in June, July, and August. We have our own events. One of the things, another thing as an extension of me, I get to, you know, I come up with some of these ideas for the events. One of my favorite things we've done so far is we had an ugly sweater party for Christmas and we had a silent disco, and that will be coming back. I love silent discos. We had one at my wedding. It's always a hit once people actually just embrace it, right? So we did that, and I'm super excited to bring one back sometime in the spring. But yeah, like those things, and there's always something to look forward to.
I'm glad you're bringing back the silent disco though, because we weren't able to go to the first one and I was very upset that we had something going on. So I'm glad that you're bringing it back, so we'll be able to hopefully get to the second one.
I'll bring it back ASAP for you guys.
Thank you.
I was living my best life. I was in the corner of the tap room and I was DJing three stations on three different laptops. Like, it was amazing.
Well, I think you covered everything that we kind of wanted to talk about and share and celebrate with you. Was there anything that we left off that you wanted to add on?
No, just come out and hang out with me at Perspective. You know, one of us is going to be there. We are a small family-owned brewery, so it's either me, my brother, my older brother, who and our two wives, who are the owners, or one of our two employees right now, which is my little brother and my little sister-in-law. So if you come in and grab a beer with us, you know, we'll talk a year off about whatever you want to, just about life in general.
Especially soccer.
Absolutely.
Yes. And if you come in at 9, especially,
we'll talk soccer. Get the hot ham and rolls.
Yep. Get it while it lasts.
Well, it was great talking with you, Dan. Thank you for taking the time today to talk to us.
Yeah, appreciate
it. Appreciate you having me on. Checked it off for my first podcast ever.
Woohoo! Ooh, you did great. Yeah. Well, we will see you at the brewery soon.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Cheers.
We've reached the end of this episode, but there's plenty more to keep you busy. For online source materials and proven case studies delivered right to your inbox, sign up for our mailing list by visiting marketthebrew.com. We'll see you next time on Market the Brew.